Can you say the letter C? CNC Hunt Files.
Oh, baby.
I was waiting for you to start talking before the intro quit.
Nope. I was going to let it go.
Let it ride.
Let it ride. Let it ride. Well, this is a special one.
We're in the studio.
We're in the studio. It's been...
And we actually have the intro.
Boom.
And the button.
And the button. Pew! Can you say the
letter? I like it.
I do like it.
Never really listened to that one live.
Uh-uh.
You know, but I like it.
I do. It's good.
I like the intro, actually.
Yeah. It's different.
You weren't crazy about it at first.
At first, I wasn't, no. At first, I was like, eh, but it's grown on me. I like it.
It's got a cool, like, it's just simplistic.
Yeah.
It gets the job done.
It is. People listen, and they're like, oh, this is going to be a mellow podcast, and then I start, fuck this, fuck that, screaming, yelling, and then
I thought you'd come a little more with your, like, more high energy with your intros, to be honest.
Sometimes it takes me a minute. Like, I'm getting into it, and then I'm like, I take off, you know what I mean? That's just, like, kind of, like, build into it, I guess.
Yeah, I get you.
I guess it's kind of like some. It depends.
It's hard to keep Ric Flair energy on everyone, too.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, like, kind of getting into my own little groove of being a host and not being, you know, on podcasts. Like,
yeah,
I think it's kind of cool to sort of work into it. Like, let my emotions kind of come
taper
into
in.
The, yeah, you yeah. know, I mean, like, I get, you know, like the solo ones, for example. Like, it's, I don't feel like I'm super jacked throughout all of them, but like,
yeah, well, your job is different when you're hosting versus guesting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah,
I actually really like guesting on podcasts.
See, I still think, like, yeah, like, that's fun. I mean,
I like it because I don't have to do anything,
right?
Like, that, I mean, that sounds maybe a little lazy, but what I mean is it's
I'm
just
learning
different.
That though, like, you're saying that, and now I can, because I've done, you know, quite a few now where I'm the host, like, it is cool for someone to be like, hey, come on my podcast. Which, speaking of this podcast, let's talk about who makes it go.
Let's do it.
Grizzly, which code WCB. Man, we were just talking about Grizzly. So they sent me, that's a 400, I believe.
That big ass one?
It's as big as the studio, basically. If we put it in this room right now, it would take up at least.
You know how, like, women have a shoe obsession or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of that way with coolers.
I get it. I have about 20 of them now.
Like, I don't know. Like, I have a road trip cooler. So we went camping last weekend.
Camping cooler?
I had a camping cooler for the back of the truck. Ooh. I had the Grizzly, I think it's a 65.
Yep.
Which is awesome. It's a lime green. It's real loud. We call it, it's our podcast cooler because it's lime green. It travels with us to the shows. But I took that one camping.
That one's seen some shit.
It's getting pretty marked up. Like, it's still lime green. I power washed it the other day.
It's seen some.
It's blued, screwed, and tattooed.
If it could podcast and talk. It's seen some stuff.
Seen up a lot of Doug's girlfriend's skirts in the booth.
Jesus.
Bless their hearts.
Bless
and their then hearts. I actually have the, oh, I don't know how many cord it is, but it's the, like, the, it's like, it's hard sided, but it's soft sided.
The
drifter.
It's a 20.
And I have, that is my in the cab cooler for, like,
yep.
drinks, yep. the kids stuff.
I've got the soft one, the 20. It's right now, it's with me. It's inside. I brought grandma's car out here because gas is $47 a gallon. Yep. That's so. I have the bag. I have the one in it. Folds out. It's got a lid up front. It's got a bunch of pockets. I mean, that mm-hmm. thing is, it's.
I think I just got a 15
mm-hmm.
hard sided one.
Yep.
And that's my Ranger cooler now. Doesn't leave my side by side.
See, when you're Kurt Geyer, you can have Ranger coolers, truck coolers. You can have hunting coolers. A Sam and Isla May cooler.
Yeah, but every dude's got something cooler, you know? Like,
cups and coolers and travel mugs.
You got your tailgate cooler. There's guys that have boat coolers. They have, yep. I mean, and then.
Well, it's like that 400 we started talking about. I'm literally going to use that. It has one job.
Elk.
It's an elk cooler. That's mm-hmm. all it is. Like, when me and Jared go out and hunt bulls this year, that will fit two bulls in it. Like, that's the only purpose for that cooler.
The first time I saw that cooler in person was at ATA show last year, and I went up to Isaac, and I was like, that's fake, right? Like, that's a novelty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I figured it was just like a fun attraction type thing for their booth. And he's like, he looked at me, And it makes sense now, and I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, okay, it makes a lot of sense. Like, at first, I thought it was kind of a joke because it's so massive.
Well, like, deep sea guys and, like, you know, I mean, it's...
That's a good point.
A lot of people, like, use that thing. It's just your everyday fisherman, your everyday bow hunter's not traveling with
that. Imagine if you lost power and something happened to one of your freezers. If you had your meat was still cold, you could put it in that.
Absolutely. You could put a whole beef in there.
You could.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be tight, but you could do it.
Yeah. I'm excited to get those grizzly box blinds, too.
Yeah, those are going to be dope.
I'm setting up. I'll probably end up doing a video about, like, what I'm doing for a setup, and I kind of learned a little from Austin and Ross, because they've had box blinds.
Mm-hmm. That's a different game. It's not the same transparency as, like, hanging, banging tree stands and stuff.
I feel like it's, like, for me, it's, like, I have a family, and I'm maturing as a deer hunter, and I want to try things with more comfort to take the kids.
Well, it's more strategic, because it takes a lot to put them up, and you don't want them in a shitty, like, you got to be like, you want to do your homework to where when that thing goes up, it's there. And it's always going to be good. Like, it's not a, we'll move it next month. No, like, it's fucking 600 pounds. There, you're not going to just move it. You need a tractor or a skid steer, a couple guys. Like, it's not just a, hey, let's go.
I'm putting a food plot in, entry and access, and planning big time borderline on the entry. Like, I'm doing a lot for that. So I got to get my spot sprayed. By the time this airs, I should already have it sprayed. But it's anyway, Grizzly.
Absolutely. WCB code, save you some money, get you some coolers. Tis the season. Keep your beers cold.
Mm-hmm.
Hunting season wise coming up. Now, actually, too, right now we got the shoot about to take place. Speaking of arrows.
Yeah, in podcast land, though, it'll be past.
It'll be already past. But right now we got the shoot here in another 2 days. Speaking of arrows, we're going to jump right into Black Ovis because Arrow, the ID builder.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I like building arrows when I've got time. When I don't have time, it's a pain in the dick because it's a meticulous,
I don't find it fun.
There is no quick way. I like doing it. Like, I like to piss around. I like to geek out on my archery stuff when I've got the time. When I don't have the time, it's not fun because I'm not enjoying
it. You're rushed through the process.
Yes, you're rushing, and then you start fucking stuff up. But Black Ovis, the Arrow ID, I mean, honestly, right now, they've got a ton of deals going on, all kinds of items. But that Arrow ID
is Victory arrows, too, for the guys looking for, like, the RIP TKOs, like what I shoot. I know you shoot something different.
Yep.
But and they also gave away, if you were at the shoot, you probably reaped some of the benefits of it. They gave a bunch of Black Ovis branded stuff away to give away at the shoot. So, some goodies there. So
very cool. WCB10 for the code with those guys. I know they've got, coming up, they're going to have another big crispy blast. I know they've got, I think some packs and some optic stuff coming up.
Oh, dude, I tested out one of their the Black Ovis sleeping bag. I can't remember which one.
Oh, they're dope.
And I roll around when I sleep a lot because we've shared camps together in the backcountry. And, you know, I'm like a stomach sleeper, but then I roll and I move.
Yep.
So, like, a mummy-type bag doesn't really work well for me. But this is a mummy-type bag, but it's a little wider.
Yep.
Money.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite sleeping bag I've ever used.
The shoulders, man, as long as you've got some room where your shoulders can move around a little bit and you're not catching it and constantly twisting it with
you. That's the big problem.
That's the problem you had in bear camp a couple years ago is I noticed it was when you zipped up, you were tight on your shoulders. And I'm
It would twist up. That's a good point.
It's just going to roll with you.
But this Black Ovis bag, I normally get like cold once our fire burns hot milk. I didn't get cold at all. Like it's my favorite bag I've ever used up to this point. So now that's my go-to.
Speaking of that, because it's been minutes since we've done. I mean, you had bear camp. You had bear camp. We found out you drew that elk tag. Uh-huh. So sleeping bag, Black Ovis stuff. I mean, you've been using it. You've been rocking it. And then you got the elk hunt that in Wyoming, which is going to be dope.
I'm really excited about it.
Bear camp sounded like that was fun. I mean,
it rained on us, man. Like, we'll get into more details on that. We're going to do like a recap. Right. But yeah, one of the guys, Mike Topper, we got a little podcast coming with him. We did in camp. He shot a giant, like a true giant black bear, like almost a 21-inch skull.
Yep, that's a monster.
We don't really ever know the weight when we're out there because we can't just run them to a scale.
Right.
Because you're not bringing a bear out whole when you kill it out there. No. But I don't know. Looking at it, I'd say a 400-plus-pound bear.
I mean, with a skull like that, I'd almost guarantee it. I mean,
Trey and those guys, the guides always underestimate because they don't want to. I don't think they want to overestimate and get somebody's hopes up.
But it's better to be under than over for a guide.
Yeah, So I think they play it safe. They're pretty conservative, you know, and they see a lot of animals. I think they're scared to put numbers. Not scared, but they don't want to put numbers on them.
Right.
But, dude, looking at the videos and pictures, I'm like, that's like a 400-pound bear plus.
Had that big old crease running down.
Fat pumpkin head. Mm. The skull, compared to my 18-inch bear I shot, looks like a different fucking species.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
looking like a grizzly.
Like a grizzly, yeah. Massive. Massive. Yeah. I think it's pushing 21. He dropped it off at Old Barn once... the drying period's up and they get it clean of all flesh, I'm going to measure it for them.
See, I didn't know shit about bears way back in the day when I killed my first. And
because you shot a giant, didn't you?
It's 21 and an eighth.
Holy shit.
And
is Boone and Crockett 21?
I think it's 21, yeah. And I didn't even, I was with Adam Hayes, you know, and he's like, you'll never kill a black bear bigger than that. And I'm like, cool.
Nice.
Sweet.
Now you're good.
But I didn't really realize, how big that really was, you know, massive, until because I'm not like,
I thought my bear was big.
I mean, you get a bear that goes 18, 19. I mean, that's a really good bear. Mm-hmm. And then you go see one that's 20 or 21 and you're like, like you said, it's like a whole other species.
It is.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It could almost eat, you think an inch in a skull doesn't seem like that much. Like on a deer, it's not that much.
No.
It's a lot in a skull. And it's weird because you're like an inch. It's length and width. It's I know, but...
It's a lot.
Mm-hmm. I didn't really realize it until, seeing Ross and Austin's bears. I think Ross has killed, 220-plus-inch bears.
Ross has two giants.
Yeah, and I think Austin's killed, a 17 and an 18-inch bear.
Yep.
And seeing the skull differences, I'm like, geez. And Kaler, our buddy from Wisconsin...
Oh, yeah.
He shot a massive Wisconsin bear. I can't remember what it is, but he brought the skull to Club 200 at Ross's. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's a giant, dude. Mm-hmm. Huge. I can't remember what it went, but did you see that skull in person?
I've never seen it in person. He sent me pics of it,
It's fucking massive. Yeah,
it looks big. I mean, it looked 2021.
It's a bear of a lifetime.
Yeah.
He's been killing it.
Oh, yeah. He shot a hell of a good buck this year.
Yeah.
He's a good dude, man. Shout out to him.
But, that skull is insane.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a big skull, for sure.
But bear camp was fun, man. It was a good time.
Oh, it always is. Anytime you get to go to Wyoming, I don't give a shit what season, what time. You get to go hang out with Trey and all them guys. I mean, I was bummed. I just had so much shit going on, couldn't make it up, but...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can't beat that.
I went with Trey when we tried to predator call him for a bear.
Yep.
And we're kind of bear hunting / trying to shoot a coyote or two, and no luck. I just thought it'd be cool to black bear come running in or something.
And so, I mean, there's times where you're out there trying to call in a coyote, and that's what does happen is, you know what I mean? So it's like it's 50-50. That could happen any time, which would be sweet.
Be really cool.
It would be.
I wonder how often people try that.
You know, you don't hear about it or see it much, but I know there are some guys that's their primary way of doing it out west. You know what I mean?
That'd be fun.
Brian, Barney's got a buddy that's primarily how he does all of his bear hunting. He calls.
Really?
Yep.
I mean, I like that style. That's something I want to do more. It's like coyote hunt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so fun when you do it. But for me, it's I look at it as it's something I want to do more and I just don't.
Gotta have the time.
You have the time, but it doesn't. Nothing really grabs me like going on a bow hunt. I will put shit off to go bow hunting.
Oh, yeah.
I won't always put shit off to go coyote hunting.
Yeah. Before I had kids, I mean, in my early 20s, I bow hunted or I coyote hunted a lot.
Yeah.
With a rifle. And I loved calling. I loved setting up. You know what I mean? That was fun to me. It was kind of like a chess game, I guess you could say. I mean, you're trying to play the wind, trying to play... All right, here's fields, here's woods. Where do I think one will come from? You know, you're playing that game. I liked that. I enjoyed it. But I had time to fuck around, too. Mm-hmm. I haven't done that in 6 years. Why? Because I'm not going to take time away from my kids or from bow hunting something to go piss around the coyote. I'm just not. Yeah.
It just falls on the level of priority as well.
If I'm groundhog hunting and see one, absolutely, I'm shooting it. Do we carry them in the tractors when we're farming? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But am I going to go spend 2 or 3 hours like I used to do in the middle of February when they're breeding and stuff? No.
Yeah. Trapping them would be fun, but that's another level too.
My grandpa and I have caught two not on purpose. Trapped everything in Ohio, but those never really pissed with it too much. I think I'd get addicted to that though. I really do. That's a fun game. Some of my buddies do it. I mean, that looks like a girly. I mean, it's just something I'd probably get into.
Yeah.
I don't need to get into anything. I've already got enough shit that I'm into.
Yeah, I hear it.
I got enough stuff, but. Speaking of Wyoming, though, dude, drew that tag.
I'm pretty pumped about it.
Oh, I mean, won't talk about where, but bull tag in a really good unit in Wyoming.
Yeah.
And
I think I had
I was going to say, I mean,
this is a question I'm going to get a lot.
You didn't burn a ton of points, but enough to get you in that. I mean,
I think I had.
Did you have four, three?
Five.
Was it that many?
I think I had five.
Five?
Yeah. And Austin put in and didn't draw, and he had four.
Really? Mm-hmm. I thought he only had three. Oh, he only had one less than you and didn't get it.
Maybe I'm off on that. But I think that's what it is. I forget. I know, like, point creep is getting really bad.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yep. Wyoming, it's definitely going to.
It's a complicated question because, and I'm not an expert, but I just know enough that mm-hmm. I drew my tag and blah, 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 and mm-hmm. whatever, you know. But people are like, hey, man, I want to do an elk hunt out there. Like, how many points did you have when you drew? Because yeah. I've talked to that. I drew this tag before. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, how many points do you have? And all people are like, well, none, but I'm going to start getting. I'm like, well, by the time you get the points
right.
to draw the elk tag, you might need seven.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe I'm exaggerating a bit on that.
No, I mean, it's like that. I mean, Colorado units, I used to draw with 1 and 2 points to hunt mule deer, and now I need four. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that was only 5 years ago. So, I mean, you do the math. I mean, you're, yeah. it's almost a half a point a year in Colorado.
I'm going to be due to cash in Colorado points soon in the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to kill a big antelope in Wyoming. Mm. I got quite a few in Wyoming for antelope.
People get caught up on, I think, the point thing. And there's like two ways to look at it. It's like, okay, you're either going to wait forever and go hunt a unit in a state one time, or you build up a few points, you go hunt, or you do like what I do in some states and you hunt over the counter, hunt mm-hmm. 0 and 1, like Colorado, for example. I mean, there's,
but if you get your rotation going,
well, that's the thing is I rotate a lot. Like this year I burnt, you know, 2 points and it's a really good unit, to bow hunt, you know,
for Colorado.
Yep. Yep. And I mean, it's, you know, me and Jared Knighton's going to go over there and hunt, and we both drew it. And same thing with elk. We burned 3 elk points together and going to go hunt. You know what I mean? And could I have waited 4 more years and drew an even better unit? I mean, I could have, and it's going to, yeah. but it's going to have the same quality, just more of them. Yeah. But you're also not going to hunt Colorado for 7 years. You know, I want to yeah. hunt some of these states like Arizona, New Mexico, some of these states, or not New Mexico, but Arizona, Nevada, I'm building a bunch of points and I'm going to draw these tags and hunt them.
Draw the coveted
yeah, unit. I'm going to hit it one time and then maybe if I'm lucky, I get to hit it again, you know, yeah. but like the Gunnison, for example, I want to hunt the Gunnison really bad in Colorado. I'll never hunt it. Why? Because I'm never going to build up 12 points.
Oh, that's
won't,
what it takes.
Won't happen.
Right.
I'm never going
to. That makes sense.
Now I could hunt over the counter for 12 years, but I'm not going to want to do it. Like I'm never going
to. So you're trying to get in some of these units that's like you don't need enough points where you got like half a lifetime of
yeah,
points
no,
getting in this
no.
where you can just get in with a no. few points or it cuts down the edge of hunting pressure.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
quality is good
in today's world between, I mean, we're to blame, magazines are to blame, Onyx is to blame, et cetera, et cetera. Like
yeah,
there's no.
You can't point your finger at one thing.
Yeah, no, I mean,
it's
like
conglomerate of everybody.
There is no secret spots, secret units. You know, I mean, it's all like, hey, you're going to deal with people. You're going to deal with pressure.
Yeah.
I want to hunt. Like, I want to bow hunt. So I don't want to wait, you know.
But even on my mule deer hunt, man, I had quite a few points on yeah. that to draw that tag.
Yep.
And we saw people.
Oh, absolutely. You're going to.
I was surprised where we were at. I'm like, we probably won't see anybody.
But like, that's those peaks and those basins are like world famous. I mean, that's you know, I honestly, me and Devin have talked about this. We saw less people than I thought we'd see.
Yeah.
For me. But I've also, I know how coveted that, like, I know how good that unit is and what it used to be.
We were back there, though, too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, yes, we were back there mm-hmm. to get to, like, where we were at.
Right. But then.
But physically.
Yes. Tough.
Like, you know what? What's that filter on Onyx where it's, like, purple?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like, roadless, where it's, like, the darker purple, yep. the more, like, desolate.
Yep. Roadless.
That like we were in the dark purple.
Oh yeah,
like as dark as you could probably get
mm-hmm.
in that area. I mean, maybe you went a little deeper, but in that mm-hmm. unit, we were in the depths of that.
Oh,
unit.
That's. I mean, that's a plain words a motherfucker to get into.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's straight up to get in there of any direction. Like no matter how yeah. you come into that, it's straight up.
Yeah, and those are probably residents we were seeing. I'm guessing.
I would probably assume, you know, but yeah. I mean, the point thing, man, that's tough because like for me, like I, you know. I've said it before. If you want to get good at hunting mule deer, you got to hunt mule deer. You can't wait 12 yeah. years, draw a tag, and then be like, well, I've got this kick-ass tag. Don't know what I'm doing, but I got mm-hmm. it. Like, oh, all right. I mean, so
yeah,
like
I'd like to hunt in Colorado for muleys soon. Like, that's on my radar in the next 5 years, probably.
Yeah, draw one of those tags off the tag along, because you'll be able to draw a really, really good unit for sure. Because you've got the point, like you're flirting with like Gunnison units, and you know, I mean, like
I don't think I have that many points.
No, no, but units that are right there.
Oh like, yeah, yeah,
very, very good.
I have a lot in Utah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Utah's another one. You know, what I mean, like
I'm about to call Deb and be like, where the fuck do I go? I tried to research Utah. It seems hard. Everything's just Wasatch.
Utah's another one. You know, what I mean, like there's a lot of good over the counter opportunities, a lot of good 0-1 point deals, but then there's the limited. Man, 12, 13, 14 points, and you're in the Henrys or you're in something.
I have eight.
You know, yeah. I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. At this point, you may as well wait.
Just ride it out 4 more years.
Ride it out and then go hunt the Henrys or go, you know, go hunt a really good high country conducive unit in Utah, which there's not many. There's not many really good high. Like, a lot of Utah hunting is thick. Southern Utah, like where Skyler and Nicole Richards live, you ain't spotting stalking down there.
Just because the.
Oh, it's thick as shit. I mean, now that they can't bait and. That's gone. Like, there's a lot of Southern Utah bucks not going to get killed that would have got killed because bait was the primary way to do it. It's so thick. Oh, yeah. Oh, like
for rifle hunters and shit.
Bow hunters, rifle hunters. Bait, man. Apples and.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now you can't do that. No cameras, kidding. Blinds, apple. Oh, yeah. Hmm. Yep. And now that's, you know, you can't do that shit. So that's a huge, you know, but that elk hunt, though, man. I mean, no.
Yeah.
You know,
back to the elk hunt.
We go on that mule deer hunt last year. Like you got a taste for what's up now. Like
yeah.
You've been there, you know it. Like what's the mindset this year? Like, okay, I went on the mule deer hunt. I was with Devin and Clint. I did it. All right. Now this year. Okay. You drew this tag, you know, it's a really good tag. You want to make sure you get your ducks in a row. What's different? Like mindset, mentally, physically, like what's Kurt Geyer going to do different or where are you at? Like with, I got to do this or I can't do that. Or, you know, where's it put you now that you know what you're in for? Cause you really know what you're in for now.
Yeah.
You've already done it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. As far as like the shot process side of things, mm-hmm. like no, I'm going to do the same thing I did for my mule deer hunt.
I would say it worked out well.
Yeah. Right. Right. I'm going to do like I said, last year,
I personally had a front row seat for that.
Yeah.
It worked out really good.
Weirdest, most unique, like situation to watch a shot.
It really
you
was.
You were literally like in an arena watching me shoot.
I was right above you. I mean, I was above. I got. I
You're
couldn't
about
have
a thousand
had
a, feet above me.
Yeah. I couldn't have had a better view of what was taking place.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
I've never been more nervous, I don't think, either. Besides my kids being born, I honestly, I was a fucking wreck.
Yeah.
A mess.
Worked out.
It really did.
Pretty amazing.
It was.
And I'm pumped for that article to come out in Peterson's.
Next month.
Shout out to Peterson's Bowhunting Magazine and yep. Clint and Christian Berg. Great people over there. Yeah, I mean, shooting, same, you know, training for another fight type. You know, I kept using that analogy. I'm going to shoot my bow like I'm training for a fight, which I'm going to take a couple weeks off now early in the spring. I fucked up my shoulder a little bit. I had a horse run me into a tree in Wyoming.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I told it a little bit on a DeerCast podcast that just came out, but I'll give a quick overview. It was partially my fault. Kind of like I you know what I mean? We're new at, right? We don't ride horses a lot. So like I do shit that the horse doesn't like I'm pulling up on the reins when it's going downhill
instead of pulling back
and the horse gets pissed. And, but what happened
so
was
like, fuck you. I'm gonna run you into a tree.
kind of what happened. So real quick, I just tell the story real fast. We're crossing the river. We crossed it once. Everything went great.
Which is always fun.
It's scary too. Because the water's like cold as shit.
Oh yeah.
We're coming back across the river.
Did you float at all? Did your horse float at all? Or wasn't that high?
A little bit, little bit. Trey and Brandon's horse went over. Eric's horse was hesitant, but then caught up with them. And they went through this pocket where you could tell the trail is where they always cross.
Right.
Well, my horse was like fucking around or whatever, like wasn't staying with the crew. And I'm like, stay with the fucking crew. I'm kicking the horse. Like, get in with the boys here. And then my horse started to go downriver. So now my horse is like 20, 30 yards downriver from where they went in on the path and crossed. So they're on the bank already.
Okay.
My horse starts freaking out because all the other horses are out of the river. So where it was going to go, the pines were like boom, boom, boom right next to each other. It's like it's going to clothesline my ass right off into the river.
Ooh.
So I try to turn my horse
into
the current of the river to go up 20 yards and cut in.
So you're trying to go back upstream basically to then cut back over
where they went.
Yes.
Okay. The horse doesn't like it. I think it's like going head on into the rushing water,
fighting the current.
And it starts like kind of bucking, panicking to try and get through it.
Yep.
And there, if it wouldn't have been the water, I would have bailed because I would have just bailed to avoid hitting this tree. But it was in the rushing cold water and I had my phone and all my shit.
Say, yeah,
I didn't want to dive off into the water and go down the river because it's rushing rapid type river.
Yeah. This isn't a stream back in Ohio. That's it's a foot of water.
It's all snow melt.
Yeah.
River is what it is. So the horse starts freaking out and then it's like, I'm trying to fight it with the reins, but it's still trying to do what it wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts kind of bucking. And then there's like this big branch that comes off this tree.
Ugh.
And it's the branch slammed the side of my face, my neck, and then my shoulder hit the tree.
Eesh.
Like the, cause the tree kind of curved in.
Did
like
take
this.
You off?
No, I held on like a motherfucker cause I didn't want to fall in the river. And I kind of like got whipped through this fucking tree.
So you're leaning back then to get through it. Like
I kind of like turned my head, smacked this tree, like leaned me back.
Right.
And
right.
You ever seen guy on a buffalo where the dude's on the buffalo and he just runs him through those trees and he's like through the trees. That's what I did. And then I come out and then instantly the way like my neck and shoulder had to move, it cramped me up. So it cramped me deep from my shoulder all the way into like my ear.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, like freaking out, and I jumped off, and Trey's like, "What happened?" Nobody saw it.
Right, I was gonna say, yeah, they're probably like, "What the fuck's wrong with it?"
I'm like, "Fucking horse just ran me into a tree." So Trey, like, I jumped off, and I'm like trying to hold on to my horse. My horse like all worked up from it.
Oh yeah.
And then Trey jumps on my horse and kind of like disciplines it a little bit, I guess, whatever you call that for a Western cowboy.
Does a little cowboy education with the pony.
Yeah, kind of was like,
let me tone you up here, buckaroo.
Yeah, he toned it up.
Yep.
And then his horse takes off.
Oh, fuck.
And that's... then, so now he's on my horse that's like kind of being an ass. So he's got to run his horse down. And meanwhile, I'm like trying to stretch my shoulder out. I couldn't move my neck for like 5-10 minutes. I was stiffed up. But anyway.
For any horses listening, if you're Trey's horse, you shouldn't run off because it's just going to be a bad day for
you. It's a bad day.
It's a bad day.
But anyway, my shoulder, it hurt real bad for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I'm good. And then I woke up I've been kind of waking up stiff from it. It's a muscle thing, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I think I pulled a shoulder muscle or a neck muscle that connects in there.
Might even have bruised the fucker too.
I think so. So
slam into a tree.
I'm going to take a couple weeks off cause I can feel it. Like now that we're like, if I'm rolling my shoulder, I can feel it in there.
Yeah.
So not a huge deal. I don't think. It's just sore still.
Yeah.
It's been a week and a half.
Yeah. I mean, take some time. It's not like it's August 1st and you leave in 60 days.
I'm a couple weeks. I'm going to make sure this is good because I don't want to irritate it. I want to heal and then we're good.
So shooting wise, stick with the same game.
Same shit.
Yep. Yeah. I think that's good. Solid.
But more visualization on like more range and dial because, you know, an elk is, you know what I mean? It's probably going to come into a call fast and I need to kind of be like, and a lot of it will be like finding where my pin drops out. You know, if I have it set on 40, what's my effective range?
50 and 30 and
Yep. So there'll be some more like mental shot process, calculation, stuff like that. Not necessarily hitting golf balls at 90, but more seeing if it's, you know, if I'm at 40 yards and the elk's at 55, how do I need to shoot?
Right.
Shit like that.
Yep.
So that's like mentally for there. The physically, I'm going to try and cut 20 pounds just to make the inclines and declines of the terrain a little easier. That's really it. I'm going to eat pretty clean leading up to it, like training for a fight a little bit, not going crazy. Like, I'm not going to like get a nutritionist and shit like that, but I'm just going to eat healthy, try and cut 15, 20. I might do a little running just to like get a little bit of cardio. We did some hiking in bear camp. We went shed hunting and me and Trey hiked around and,
I don't think there's anything better than honestly throwing a pack with 50, 60 pounds on and just wearing it and walking literally. Yeah. I mean, just get your body used to that stress.
That's what I probably need to do.
You know?
But yeah, I mean, that's really it. Like I know what to expect. Like I know what the mental suck can be.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. I mean, you lived through what most would have quit at the 10% mark. Yeah. You know, I mean, realistically, I mean,
but yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Oh, no, that's a solid plan. What's the calculations on a bull? I mean, any good bull, do you have like in your mind, do you have, it's gotta be a 6 point or it's just gotta give me the wow factor or I mean, where's.
So I talked to Trey about this a lot. Cause me and Trey are going, we're kind of doing a memorial hunt.
Right.
For Clyde and my old man.
Yep.
And Trey actually has a tag, I believe.
That'd be cool.
So we talked, he's like, man, maybe I've never killed one with my bow. Cause he's always guiding.
Right.
Cause maybe we'll try and get you a bull. And if you get one, we'll, we'll try and get me a bull.
That'd be cool.
I'm like, man, that would be so fun.
That'd be really cool.
So,
dope ass picture. Two bulls.
Yeah. Two skulls. It'd be amazing.
Out and, yeah.
So I was talking with him about it. You know, it's like, there's two areas that we're going to hit. Cause I drew a general tag.
Mm-hmm.
So, in one area, the bull range, I'd like to be no matter what, right around that 300 mark.
Yep.
Now
that's a solid bull.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great bull. I mean,
here's a conversation I had with Trey, you know, just to summarize, it's like, hey man, I'm not going to be the guy that kills. Like you see my whitetail wall. I got 120s, 130s, 140s, 150s, a couple in the 160s. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I stepped up through the ladder of deer.
Yep.
With elk, I'm not going to have 10 shoulder mounted elk in the studio or at my house. Like, no. Not realistic. No. Don't have the space. By the time I do that,
you have to buy another building or add on to the house.
Yeah. Like, I'd like to kill 2, 3, 4 bulls, good mm-hmm. bulls, you know, in my lifetime. Then it's going to be going with my kids if they're into it.
Yep.
If they're not, then maybe I'll kill more. What? I don't know.
Yep.
Or you never know what opportunities arise down the road. But I told Trey, I'm like, man, I'm not going to kill a ton of elk. Like, I would rather hold off, you know, if there's a 280 bull comes in and you're like, let's wait, I'll wait.
Mm-hmm.
But a 280 bull
looks pretty fucking big.
Looks pretty big, you know, mm-hmm. like I wouldn't be upset with the 280 bull, but I'd like to be in that 300 mark, give or take 10 inches on each side of it.
Yep.
And then, but yeah, I mean, Trey's like, dude, there's a spot we could go. Like, you could be into 320 to 350 bulls. Like, we just have to see what's going on.
Yep.
So open minded,
mm-hmm.
but I'd say 300, I would be ecstatic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a great bull. I mean,
yeah. I've measured one 300 inch bull for a guy, and I was like, this is a good standard of a big elk. You know?
There's people that'll kind of turn their nose up. Oh, only 300. Yeah. Only 300. I mean, especially if you've never killed a bull or had a bull come in, like, dude, that 300 inch bull will look 700 inches. He comes in roaring and frothing at the mouth and just fucking carrying on like bulls do. I mean, you'll swear it's biggest bull on the mountain. I mean, that's, you know what I mean? Like, that's just how it'll be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they look so much bigger than what they sound. Oh, it's 300 inches. Yeah. Fuck. I mean, that's a big bull, dude.
Oh, I'd be thrilled, you know, but you know, I'm not going to be crazy picky.
No, I mean, number one, elk meat is probably maybe my favorite.
Especially right now, dude, my wife and I had this conversation, like the cost of food.
Oh yeah.
You know, I've already got this tag. I'm going to have to, like, that's actually a big factor right now.
Yeah.
If grocery prices are going up
and
shit like that, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that would be, I mean, and you're talking 350 plus pounds of organic, I mean, fucking the best meat, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Elk you can't beat, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that's definitely a huge factor. I mean, now what's your, so I know kind of where you're going to be and whatever, you know, I mean, you're definitely in G-Bear country. What's your, cause I've hunted, Idaho with in G-Bears. I've hunted
G-Bears
in around, I've hunted Montana a lot. You know, I mean, I've been right in the mix with G-Bears with Brian Barney a couple different times.
Yeah.
So I've got some experience around them and, you know, I mean, some people it's a huge deal. Some people it's not, you know what I mean? Like, it just depends on kind of how you look at it, but like, what's the thoughts on that? Because that's something different for you. You know, that's a different aspect to this hunt that you've not really dealt with or had to think about much, because realistically you've not been anywhere where you need to worry about that shit.
Yeah. I kind of compare it to a real life boogeyman.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
It really, dude,
it is
kind of is. It's something that can eat you and doesn't give a fuck about you. We touched on this a little bit on the
you don't think they care about you at all? You don't think they're not like, it's Kurt. I don't want to.
He's probably got kids. I don't want to really eat him.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I was going more with like, he's like, look at those tattoos. Ink doesn't taste that good.
I bet it's lead poisoning.
Lead poisoning. Yeah. I don't want to fuck with him.
He tastes like a gas station.
But attendant. Trey over here has no ink. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go eat his ass.
Yeah.
But Trey's a little skinnier. I don't know.
Man, that guy looks like he drank a Bush Light. I'm Bush Light flavored. I'm like a Bush Light flavored snack.
Fuck.
It'll really suck if I fucking get eaten after saying that. But I don't know. Like, I'm nervous about it to where I'm conscious of it.
I mean, I don't think anyone that hunts in bear country should ever not be nervous to an extent, because that tells me you don't respect them. And it's just like growing up around bulls.
Yeah.
You know, I've been around cattle and bulls and shit my whole life. Like, the second you don't respect them, they'll fucking show you why you got to respect them. I mean, you know, I've been put in the corner. I've been chased. I've been, you know, I've gotten thrown and hit a few times. Like, I mean, I've had some bad experiences with bulls, and a lot of it I could have prevented from being not so comfortable and being more cognizant of what the fuck was going on around me, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like almost like some reminders of, yeah, man. Hey, don't think you got it all figured out. Like, these aren't pets. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, I, even me to this day, all the hunts I do in black bear country or in mountain lion country, like, there's a great respect for those animals. I'm never like, oh, I'm not worried about that. Like,
yeah.
Oh, they're, it's fine. No, like, you got to fucking worry about that.
You got to worry about it.
The second you're not on your toes, man, is when something bad happens.
So I ordered a Glock 20.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 10 millimeter.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it seems like the backcountry sidearm to have, besides like a giant revolver. But I'm going accuracy by volume.
Because
I can only imagine the panic that would set in if you're sub 30 yards and a grizzly's on your ass.
That's the reason why a lot of people are huge advocates of bear spray. Because you don't have to be accurate with that. You just can't spray it in your own fucking eyes.
Well, my thought with bear spray is I feel like they got a lot of time to get on your ass even after being sprayed.
I mean, you can still get hit for sure.
Because is it just pepper spray?
I mean, it's a very high volume and a very like devil rated, you know, ratio of the shit. I mean, it's nothing you want to even remotely get on your face or your hands or your eyes. I mean, it's pretty wicked. I mean, but there's two trains of thoughts though. There's the train of thought of I've got a gun, the noise and the bullet. That's two things, you know, versus, okay, I've got the bear spray. I'll be honest with you. I'm more of an advocate for spray.
You are.
Yep. Yep. Like, I'll carry spray before I'd probably carry the gun, only because, it's hard to replicate a charging 40-mile-an-hour, 35-mile-an-hour grizzly bear, and you've got 3 seconds to pull your pistol. Now you've got to hit a basketball coming at you at 30-mile-an-hour. For me, I'm going to take my chances with the spray as far as, okay, I'm going to pull the pin, fall back, fall down, and spray the fuck out of it, and it's going to hit the stream. He might still land on me. He might run me over. But he doesn't know. He can't see, can't smell. He's fucked. Like, realistically, I'm not going to get eaten. Now, I might get hit. I mean, I know guys that have gotten run over. You know what I mean? But.
I still feel like a bear can smell, and if it's blind, it can still fuck you up.
I mean, well, the thing about it is, though, is it blocks everything. So their smell, their vision, I mean, it's all fucked. You know what I mean? And it's burning. They just want to get the hell out of there. Their concern now is not on you. But pistol, though, I feel like there's more of a, man, I got a gun. Like, there's more of a badass. I think people have more confidence having a gun on them.
Yeah.
But my deal is, okay, you got a horse, an animal that's fast as a horse running at you. You got 5 seconds. Pull your pistol. You need to hit it in the head. Because if you body shoot it,
it's mad.
You've done fucked up. Now, yeah, at that point. But if you can
put 15 rounds in it.
But the problem is, though, is in 4 or 5 seconds, how many times can you pull the pistol out and squeeze the trick? I mean, it sounds like a lot of time.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? I know.
So,
I hear you.
But so that's like, it's the scenario. You know what I mean?
I'd rather have a pistol than bear spray. I'm sticking to that.
I mean, a lot of people, I get it. I mean, I see both sides because realistically, like, I can see arguments on both sides. Me, being the cheapskate that I am when it comes to weight, bear spray away. Bear spray's it for me. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but man, I'm gonna get one of the mounts where I can mount to the bottom of my bino mm-hmm. harness. It's a little heavier, yep. But man, just accuracy by volume.
Yep.
I quizzed some of the guys in that area and probably got one too many nightmare stories.
Oh, dude. I mean, no one out there doesn't have a gun or spray. I mean, that's for a reason. You know. I mean, that's for a reason. But no, that's. I think the G-Bear thing, though, man, I think it's a cool additive to that hunt. It's another level.
It's a cool factor.
I mean, it really is.
There's a lot of guys that won't even go because of them.
100%. I have a buddy that drew the Montana, the super tag.
Is it Montana bad? Worse than Wyoming?
Oh, way worse.
Really?
I have a buddy back home. He drew the super tag. He drew Western Montana, G-Bear capital of the world. He's never solo hunted. He's never elk hunted. And he told me he drew the tag. He's going out there. And I'm like,
he's going to get eaten by a grizzly.
I'm like, you do realize, like, you're in fucking G-Bear capital of the world. He's like, yeah, I've been doing a lot of reading on that. I've been doing, and I'm just like, mm-hmm. Now, mind you, like, never has hunted in the backcountry by himself. And I'm not going to sit there and be like, try to like Debbie down him, you know, but like, I'm just like, dude, like, it's scary to spend your first night alone on a solo hunt in Eastern Kentucky hunting whitetails. Like, it's just eerie.
It's weird. Yeah.
Now you throw in Western Montana. You know what I mean? Like, I personally would never advise somebody who's never solo hunted, yeah, who's never backcountry hunted, to go get a tag where there is the G-Bear factor on top of everything. Like, all personally,
the other spooky stuff. Yeah.
Personally, like, I think you're fucking crazy to go do that. I would never have went and done that until probably up to maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Would I have had the confidence after 10 or 12 years of doing this to be like, yeah, I'd be all right to go do that. Like, I physically and mentally feel like I'd be confident enough. Like, right now, yeah, 100%. Well, I would be scared enough of them to be cognitive and know, okay, I need to make sure I respect them constantly, but okay enough, I'd be able to do it.
Yeah.
6-7 years ago, I wouldn't even want to go do that. And that's just being realistic. Like,
Remember you had that pistol on you when we were mountain lion hunting, hmm? When we were mule deer hunting. What was that? It was a 9, wouldn't it?
Kimber. Yep. It's a little Kimber 9.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We thought we were going to have to use that for a second.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty sure.
Not really use it, more of like a scare tactic. Thing.
Yeah, because I mean, I was pretty sure that was a lion coming in. I mean, you know, you had killed that buck. We gutted him, you know, and it was funny because the direction he came in, the wind was sucking right up that draw. So, I mean, it just all made sense. Yeah. You know what I mean, and I'm just like.
Plus, Devin, I think, was adding fuel to the fire for that situation.
First, it was a fox, and he's like, oh, I think it's a lion. I'm like, I don't think that's a fox, man. It's pretty big. Nah. And then we get halfway up, and he's like, oh, I think that was, he's like, I'm pretty sure it was a lion. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to argue with you, but I didn't think it was a fox. Like, I'm like, fox is pretty small, man. And he's
I'm like, you didn't
give a fuck. You're like, listen, let's just get up the fucking hill.
I was kind of like sitting in the background, like, dude, I was like basically attaching the deer to my pack or something.
Right.
And I just kept doing it while you guys argued whether or not it was a lion or a fox. And then it was like, because it's like hailing, lightning, like the lightning would strike. Yeah. And you guys are trying to look why the lightning was like lighting up the mountainside.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. If it kills us, just let it fucking kill us, Clint.
At that point, that was funny because Devin's like, well, he's like, you got your pistol on you. And I did over there because there are, you know, there's a lot of lions over there, a lot of bears and shit.
A lot of black bears. It's not, grizzly could be there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's not known. You know what I mean? That's not an area that's really known for him, but
yeah, more. I probably should add a sidearm on me too, thinking back just to have it. But
yeah, I mean, it was one of those deals, you know, where it was just funny though, because like, that's a moment where, yeah, like you're happy someone's got a gun or, you know what I mean? Like you feel a little safer.
You know, if you had to pot shot one into the side of the mountain just to scare him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stuff to think about, man. I don't know. It's another factor to the hunt that, you know, and we might not be up there, though. It all depends.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we'll be up there the entire hunt. I don't know.
Right.
In that territory. But we'll find out. It's going to be fun either way.
It is going to be fun. You guys be smacked at. You guys are going to go right in the middle of the rut or the very end of the pre-rut, early rut?
Actually, I'll be out there on my birthday.
Really?
Yeah. So the hunt days are like, I believe, the 7th through the 11th.
So you're going to be like pre-rut into the late. Pre-rut, early rut. Yeah.
So
good time to call. A lot of bulls fired up, ready to rock.
I'll be heading out on the 5th. My birthday is the 6th. Mm-hmm. So, and I kind of was like, man, I'd like to come out a day early just to decompress and
get used to it, dude.
Uh-huh.
Elevation and just the whole, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome, man. That's great you drew that tag.
I learned the key, though, to that terrain, like, is, like, I hiked behind Trey going up when we were mm-hmm. going to set up a bear bait.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, hey, man, let me lead.
Mm-hmm.
Let me walk in front of you. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of cool because when I was walking, Trey's like, hey, man, try this. Like, try this with your breathing in the mountains. Mm-hmm. You know, because I don't know.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, oh, that helps a little, you know. But it helps it. Like, if I'm chasing you
Well, it's the same thing. Same thing we did going up that big steep spine. Yeah. I let you go 20 minutes ahead. I'm like, I'll catch up.
But it worked better. Like once I took my breather and we ended up meeting up, it works better if I'm leading.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then you're not trying to chase. I mean, like you're going at your own pace.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, it was like Devin had the idea. He's like, hey, when you guys go back up tomorrow, he's like, let Kurt leave like 20 minutes. He's like, just let him go and you'll catch him, you know, but let him just, you know, let him pretty much lead the way up. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good idea. Then you're not feeling like, fuck, I'm behind. I got to catch up. I got to, you know, because I've got, you know, hundreds of days spent out there. Like, I know how to control my breathing.
You already had, like, I don't know how many days out there by the time we went on that hunt. You'd already been out to Utah once.
I was in Utah 7 or 8 days prior to that, and then that was the second or third day in Wyoming. So, yeah, I had, like, 10. Yeah, my lungs were burnt up enough to where they were used to, like, the elevation. You know, I mean, I was in pretty solid mountain shape as far as in the mountains.
Yeah,
you know,
I had lung shape.
Damn near 10 days.
Your lungs kind of have to, like, wake up to that terrain a little bit.
Oh, 100%.
Like, you get your first, like, heavy breath under it, mm-hmm. and then you're good.
Your first stock is always good for get that the jitters first one out.
Fucked me up, but.
Well, right, but it was good, though, as far as, like, letting you know, kind of, well, okay, here's where I'm at, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I remember me and Devin sitting there slowly watching you get up, walk up that draw, and Devin's like, boy, he's going to be a tired motherfucker when he hits the top. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that thing was steep.
I come over to meet you because I'm like, he'll need a little pick-me-up.
Yeah, yeah, that was steep. It didn't feel that steep going down.
No, oh, never does.
Going back up.
I'm never
like,
does.
Fuck this.
Well, and going down, like, you're putting a stock on a great buck, like, you're all pumped, you know, you're... Yeah. You know,
almost worked out.
Oh, dude, so close, man. I thought for sure. I mean, but he needs that buck needs 2 steps and he gets killed.
Yeah, it was close.
Yeah, I mean, you snuck in. I mean, it was, yeah.
Goddamn wind.
But no, man, that's badass. Now, you have anything else in the fall as far as that's pretty much it for Western?
Africa,
then the elk hunt.
Yep, and then whitetails at home.
Whitetails at home, yeah.
Which I'm looking forward to a lot. And I just love my whitetails, you know? Like,
yep.
It's. The more I go out west, the more I love going out west.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But the more I appreciate
whitetails. Yep.
There's just something about them, man. Something about, like, being at home and chasing the whitetails. And,
it's
like,
a lifestyle. It's, I mean, we're always doing... Yeah, it's a lifestyle.
But I feel like when I first started going out west and I'd come home, I'd be like, man, I'm fucking bored sitting in a tree stand, you know?
Oh, dude, yeah.
But this year I didn't have that. I had, like, the, we're at home.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You a little bit. You're more Western bit than I am.
A little bit. I mean, I'm
Western bit to where I want to go.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. 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 And I mean, I see more and more out of you every year in that, as far as like that bug just keeps kind of nipping at you. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah. I get that, you know.
Antelope is like probably my favorite so far.
Dude, it's hard to beat a really good antelope hunt. Like,
I love that mule deer
Montana,
hunt.
Like it's a fun hunt. You get a lot of stocks.
The camaraderie is there.
Yeah, it's not like you don't have to physically kill yourself to go get into goats. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, there's multiple ways you can hunt them. Decoy, water, spot and stock. Like, I mean, I always spot and stock just because that's what I like to do, but any of those tactics are great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can do any of them and it's fun. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I still think you should go on the dreaded elk hunt this year if I don't kill in September.
I have no desire to hunt elk outside of September.
It's funny. I had a guy message me. He commented on one of my photos from that hunt. Like, this is like a month ago.
That one where you're in the snow. And
yeah, I meant to tell you this and I don't think I ever did. So he listens to like the podcast and then he went back through and like liked. I saw he liked a bunch of those photos. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, he must have just listened to that episode.
Yeah.
And he did. Well, then he messaged me on, it was either Facebook or Instagram, one of the two. And he's like, what are the odds? Like, what are the chances you think of ever getting, you know, Kurt to go? And I said, oh, zero. I said,
not a, no.
And he's like, man, you don't think you could prep? I said, no. I said, 100%. I said, the zero, no interest. I said,
zero interest.
I said, I was out there with him before I went on that hunt. And I'm like, he literally looked at me off air and was just like, dude, I don't know why the fuck you think that's going to be a good time. But it's just a difference of, you know what I mean? Like, it's a different.
It's a cool thing to experience and say you've done
right,
and stuff. But
right.
For me, I'm like.
It was just funny though, because he was like, you really don't think? I was like, nope.
I'd never
0% interest.
I mean, I wouldn't say I would never go, but am I going to plan?
Right.
To go on a hunt like that? Fuck.
Right.
No. Like, elk are for September.
Mm-hmm.
Mule deer are for early September, late August, mm-hmm. whenever the season opens and you can hunt them. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know, whitetails are for October, November. Yep.
I think I liked it so much because I just love being in the mountains.
Yeah, and I get that.
And it's
If you're seeing animals, man, you can navigate through the terrain with snowfall, then yeah, it'd be fun. But for me, like, yeah, I'm not going to chase an elk in the snow. Like, unless I've done it all. And I'm like, I've never killed an elk in the snow. I want to do that.
Yep.
Then that could change it for me.
I got bit on that last day being so close to that bull and another 10 yards and I could probably kill him. Like, if I don't kill early in the rut, I'll probably go back and do it.
Yes.
And honestly, now it's kind of a vendetta. Like, I want to kill one in the snow just to say I did it because it's so fucking hard.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I get it.
Like,
it'd be cool.
You know, but it was funny though. He went back through and this is just like a month ago and he was talking about that. He's like, you don't think Kurt would go? I'm like, I'm like, no time soon. I was like,
no, man.
No.
No, I'd rather do a sheep hunt in the snow and shit, you know, than that.
That's my gosh, like freaking bighorn, man, mountain goat. Like, I want one of those so fucking bad with the bow, man. Gosh.
It's not on my radar yet. It's not. I just.
That's another thing, though. Cool. It's like, it's you're either into it or you're not. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I get it. Well, I don't know.
Into it or not. You know, I mean, it's like Africa. Some people are like, fuck that.
I'm half in on Africa.
See, that I'll be honest. That's kind of like, that's the camaraderie and everybody going interests me more than honestly the animals and shooting stuff.
Yeah.
But I have some buddies that like their dream is go kill some animals in Africa. And I have other buddies that are like, you couldn't pay me to go there. And I'm like, well, I probably could pay. They're like, no, I don't want the, I don't want the plane ride. I don't want the guide fees. You have to go guide it. Like, no, I have zero. And I'm like, I mean, I get that too.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's cool about hunting is there's just different,
yep,
different flavor for everybody. But
we'll see.
I'm stoked you got that elk tag though. I honestly, if I wouldn't have drew my Colorado elk tag, I told Kurt I was going to come with you guys. And I'm kind of bummed that my mule deer hunt is going to overlap sort of that hunt. You're going to, you know, when I'm ending my mule deer hunt with Jared, you're going to just be starting yours. And then I'm back home for like 10 days. And then I head back to go hunt bulls in Colorado. So I'm going to miss it. But had I not have drawn that tag, I was going to go straight from Colorado and come meet up with you guys. Cause I do. I mean, that's going to be cool. Special hunt, Papa Dade and Clyde. Like, that's going to be cool as shit.
It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun.
We'll be ready for it when it gets here.
Yeah, that's going to be a good time. Devin and I both were talking about trying to go on, you know, on that. And
I got to call that dude.
It's a tough guy to get hold of. Dude, Dev.
Busy man. He called me when we were, like, almost out of service going into Wyoming. I was like, shit, I got to call him. And then a week goes by and I fucking forgot.
Yeah. Old dude, Dev.
He's the man.
He is the man.
Well, cool, dude. A little banger. A little CC Hunt Files banger.
Oh, yeah. It's been a minute, man.
I haven't been on one in a while.
I know. It's happy to have you on. It's, the Clinton Kurt, it's usually just the Clinton somebody, but it's fine. Every now and again,
we're busy, man.
Oh, like, yeah.
We're trying to grow this.
Hustling.
Whole brand.
Hustling.
So appreciate everyone's support.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you on all the platforms, all the series we got. Yeah, not enough people know behind the scenes, like, what you got going on a weekly. I mean, I do because I talk to you every day. So I know, you know, but even like Eric, what he does with shipping and receiving as far as merch, you know what I mean? Like it's when you actually see it in person and I've been around enough to know what's going on. Like,
yeah,
there's a fuckload of stuff that gets done.
There's a lot of shit going on. We're trying to juggle it. We're trying to grow it. And we're also trying to maintain all at the same time.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, a lot of stuff. No one has a clue like what's really going on. I mean, it's,
yeah. And we're kind of in the off season of like, we're in the lull of podcasts right now. Right. Like the traffic's the lowest it's going to be now. And then it'll ramp up like heavily starting in July, just the way the trend of podcasting goes.
Yep.
But I guess I do have kind of an announcement. Like we are looking or considering possible interns or like contract project for hire type stuff for film us at trade shows, film us on some possible hunts coming up, film podcast episodes, cut up podcast clips for reels and video, stuff like that. We're looking for 1 to 3 people, either contract to hire or intern to hire or just outsourcing and just pay per project or whatever. So depending on experience and
if you're blonde, brunette, what you got for hair, that kind of thing.
Yeah. How into Doug you are.
Jesus.
But like really just, it all depends on your experience level, dictates all that, what you can do. But we're also open-minded. Like if you're just willing to work hard and grow with us. Like, a lot of industry connection and fun to be had. So, I mean, something to consider.
There's a...
Okay, hit me up. workingclassbowhunter@gmail.com Just say, hey, heard you talk about it. Here's what I can do. Here's what I do. Or this is what I'm willing to do, type of thing.
Hell of an opportunity for somebody that wants to get into the outdoor industry doing this. Yeah, I mean, not to sit here and fucking brag, but that's a pretty good foot in the door.
It's like a grow with us opportunity, absolutely, type thing.
Yep. Show passion us what project. Show yeah. us what you got and what you can do and see where it takes you. I mean, the key's there.
Yeah.
You know, so no, that's cool. Yeah. Hit Kurt up, shoot him an email.
It's a help us help you help us
yeah.
to grow together type yep. thing. But, you know, we're not in a huge hurry, but we would like to find.
Yeah. You know, during hunting season, it'd be great. And that's a position that, tell you right now, it's not for everybody because, I mean, you're going to have moments where it's a drop of the hat. Hey, someone shot a buck. I need you to come film. I mean, it's something that.
Or like we go on a trade show. Hey.
Right. Yeah.
You want to come film us at a show?
Yep.
You basically stay with us. Come hang out with us. All the stuff we do. We'll pay your way. Mm-hmm. You come out and have a good time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, we're open-minded to opportunity out there, I guess. It's kind of complicated sounding, I think. But, if anyone's interested.
Hell of an opportunity for somebody.
Hit us up.
Well, hey, my man, appreciate you. Love you, as always.
Love you too,
bro. It's been fun having you on. You guys know what to do. Don't fucking settle. We'll catch you guys next week.
Here's the intro from when I started it earlier in the show.
CNC Hunt Files.